And peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, there's a story told of a woman who's driving home late one night from work down the interstate. And she noticed in a rearview mirror that there was a large truck that was following her a little bit too close for comfort. And so she sped up, and the truck sped up. She sped up some more, and the truck sped up some more. And so finally, in fear, she decided to exit the interstate off onto a side street, and lo and behold, the truck followed her. And she went through an intersection, the light turned red above her car, and the truck ran right through the red light and continued to follow her. By now, she's completely and utterly freaked out, and so she pulls in to a gas station, jumps out of her car, and runs into the building. And lo and behold, the truck parks right behind her. He jumps out of the truck, and he runs immediately to the back door of her car and opens it up and pulls a man out of the back of her car, a man who had intended to harm her. See, this truck driver wasn't out to hurt her. He was out to protect her at the sake of his own safety. Now, I share that story because so often we look at our lives and the things that we experience in them, and we see them as terrifying and evil, but God has a completely and utterly different perspective. Like that truck driver, from his angle, he could clearly see something that the woman can't, and he wanted to make sure that he protected her. At the time of the prophet Isaiah wrote the words of our Old Testament lesson for today, the nation of Israel was kind of a pipsqueak on the block. They weren't very powerful at all. See, the reality is the Assyrians were coming in from the north and the east, and they were sweeping through the land, eating up country after country as their kingdom expanded, and Jerusalem was on the horizon. And the people of Israel were terrified. What do you do when you're utterly helpless and you're insignificant as a nation in the face of complete annihilation? Well, for the Israelites, instead of trusting in God, they turned their eyes to the south and to the west, to the nation of Egypt. Now, Egypt, unlike Israel, was powerful with an army. They were wealthy. They had all the resources at their hands, and the Israelites thought, surely the Egyptians can march up to Jerusalem and they can put up a defense and they'll protect us from the Assyrians. It is going to be awesome. See, that's the backdrop of today's Old Testament lesson. The question is how does this apply to you and to me this morning? Let me ask you a question. When you face challenges in your walk with Christ, how often do you turn to God in prayer in the midst of your problem? Praying something like, Heavenly Father, help me with this problem. Heavenly Father, redeem me from the issue that I'm in. Well, if you do, that's what you're really supposed to do, right? In fact, we read in God's Word that we're supposed to call upon Him in the day of trouble. And He will deliver you, and you will glorify Him. So God calls upon us to call upon Him. So, my dear friends in Christ, how is your life going right now? How are things going for you in your life today? See, many times as Christians, we don't even stop to consider how our life is going until something disastrous enters into it, something evil or something painful happens to us. And then automatically we turn to that idea of how can something bad happen to me? See, I'm a part of the family of God. I'm redeemed by Jesus. How does this bad stuff happen in my life? Why doesn't God do something about it? Or why doesn't God just stop it entirely? Or better yet, why doesn't God just take it away? You know, I don't ever want to discount a person's suffering. Now, suffering comes in many different forms. It can be physical, emotional, spiritual, and situational. All kinds of suffering. I want to discount it because suffering is real. But if you look at suffering, suffering's kind of like a two-headed coin. On the one side is the greatest tear. And that tear is simply, why did this have to happen to me? I don't see anything good coming out of this. So Lord, why are you doing this to me? Then the reverse side is the positive side of it. And it's ultimately the side that God sees from the beginning, from His vantage point, knowing your life. And God says, I'm going to use this situation, although I'm not the source of evil, but I'm going to use this situation to strengthen them in their faith walk with me. The Apostle Paul, who knew a couple things about suffering, he had been in prison many times, beaten, all that jazz. He knew what suffering was like. He wrote these words. We rejoice in our suffering. What? We rejoice in suffering? But he goes on to say, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. This morning, as we look at this Advent season, the pink candle's lit because it's the candle of hope. We have hope in the midst of things that we do not understand. Be them financially or emotionally or physically or just situationally, we have hope in the midst of all that. Now, I know in this room right now, there are many people who have or are struggling with cancer. And I can tell you one thing's consistent with all of you is the fact that cancer has strengthened your faith in Christ. In spite of the fact that it's a threat to our lives, in spite of the pain and the suffering you go through with all those treatments, who ever thought of chemotherapy? You still cling to the hope that you have in Christ, even when you don't see it today. Each of you, regardless of the challenge that you face in your own life, see your current condition in the way similar to that of Isaiah was talking about to the Israelites. As the text opens, he talks about this desert. He talks about this parched land that seemingly devoid of all life. It seems utterly hopeless. There is no beauty in sight. There is nothing to long for. And yet, in the midst of all that, God touches it and changes everything. He brings crocus in the middle of the desert. There's water running, and it's a place where there's life and prosperity. Here in this passage of Isaiah, you and I can form a clear understanding of suffering's effect upon our life when we allow God to use that suffering to help us grow bit by bit. Now, don't get me wrong. The people of Israel didn't have it easy either. They were a people that, like I said, were insignificant. They were constantly, war was reality in their daily lives. They built walls around their city to protect them from outsiders. The fact of the matter is that they were often hungry and poverty stricken, and disease was a common theme of the day with really no treatments in mind. And the prophet Isaiah speaks to the people of Israel in the middle of all the struggles, all of the suffering, and all of that sorrow. And he announces hope to them. More so, Isaiah doesn't prophesy that this is going to be a quick fix for the nation of Israel. That just because we offer up our prayers and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, I'm healed, or my problems have all disappeared. Isaiah said that it's going to be a challenge. You know, I think as Christians, most of us have come to the realization that just because we're a part of the family of God doesn't mean that we don't suffer from time to time. In fact, at times, you know, we know that God's word says that, you know, He won't give us any more than we can handle. And there's oftentimes you want to put your name on the top of your head to make sure that He knows exactly who you are. But believe me, He does. When we pray, God, I'm hurting down here. Take away the pain. Take away the sorrow. Take away the struggle, O Lord. And Isaiah seeks to assure the Israelites that God is present in the midst of their suffering. If you take nothing else away from this sermon, take this. God is present in the midst of your suffering. In spite of all that the Israelites had done, that whole worship of false gods, and chasing after the things of the world, and neglecting God's word, God still loved them. And God was still willing to redeem them because He had promised to. And it is different, it's no different for you and I. When we encounter those speed bumps in life, or for some of you, when you encounter the Grand Canyons of life, it seems like when our world is crashing down around us, everything is out of control and we simply are trying to fight for survival. And then we sometimes doubt that God is present in our lives. But like I said, God doesn't desert you. He doesn't turn His back upon you. Literally, God is present in the middle of your situation and your suffering. And even if it seems like there isn't a single problem in your life today, dear friends, God's word tells us that we all have sinned and fall short of His glory. And a part of being a sinner is the fact that you and I suffer. If you're not suffering now, if you're not facing a challenge in your life today, believe you me, you will. Satan will come at you hard to get you to the point where you say, I don't trust Him. I don't think He's present in my life, but believe you me, He is. You know, I've had difficult events in my own life. About a year and a half ago, it was during a Lenten service that my heart started doing some really funky stuff. If your heart ever does stuff, it freaks you out. And so I went from here to the emergency room. And after a little time, they finally diagnosed it that my heart kind of skips a beat every now and again. But praise be to Jesus, there's a medication for that. And it's literally almost taken all the symptoms away and life is good. And I thought to myself at the time, man, how could it get any worse? This is terrible. I'm going to die. And then I discovered that my doctor says, Pastor, I think he just calls me Jeff, you take the baby dose of medication. He said, this isn't going to kill you. And he probably should have said, but your worry will. But the reality is, what I'm trying to say is that my suffering was nothing compared to that of the Israelites. And the suffering that you endure is far worse than what I've endured in my own life. But let me tell you, all of us endure suffering. All of us go through times of pain. I know that many of you that have gone through chemotherapy, I see it in you. In spite of the physical pain that causes and the transformation to your body, I still see in your eyes that reflection of hope that is found in God's Word. I think if suffering does nothing else for you, it'll definitely do this. It'll help you open your eyes up to the needs of those around you. We live in a world where we really want to just focus on me. It's all about me, my time, my suffering, my sorrow, my shame, my pain. But I begin to realize that there's other people out that are sorrowful and they're hurting bad. This last Friday, I did a funeral service for a young woman who lost a 7-month-old son. He simply just died one night. And dear friends, fills me with great sorrow. But the Apostle Paul made this bold statement in his letter to the church at Rome. He says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. What Paul is saying is that no matter what you're going through in life, God, from His vantage point, can use that for good. I know what you're thinking right now. Pastor, but what about this in my life? What about that? What about this? You know, I spend a lot of time out at the county jail. And I often tell the residents of the facility this. I am only here because of my daughter. And they look at me in the strangest way. Why did your daughter send you here? I said, if it had not been for the death of my daughter, I wouldn't be here. And so that's the good that came out of my daughter's death. It provides opportunity for ministry to those that maybe haven't heard the gospel. Those who are in the midst of suffering and sorrow and shame. But my dear friends in Christ, I must confess that I don't always know the answer. When we ask those questions, how can God actually use this for good? I can't look into your life and say, this is exactly what it is. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I can tell you this, that you and I worship a God who took on the greatest evil ever foisted upon Him by the human race. He took the crucifixion of His own Son, Jesus Christ. That horrid event on that horrid day, on the Friday that we like to call good. And God used that great evil to redeem you and me. That we may have hope. That we may have forgiveness, life, and salvation. And the prophet Isaiah speaks these words of hope to the people of Israel. He tells them that the desert is going to blossom and bloom. Do you think as they stood there overlooking the desert, yeah, I can see the flower beds from here, Isaiah? They didn't. All they saw was dryness and death. But he says, it's going to blossom and bloom. Those burning sands, oh boy, pools of water. These images of hope to the people dried up by their pain and by their suffering. Hope was essential quality of our lives. Without hope, what do we have? Have you ever encountered a person who has no hope? Maybe this morning that person is you. Without hope, such a person goes through the motions of life, but they really aren't living at all. My friends, without hope, there's a profound emptiness in a person's life. See, my friend who just has gone through cancer surgery, they see that as a way that God literally has transformed them, created in them that heart that trusts in Him, even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of suffering, when they can't see it with their own eyes, they know that Christ is present. You know, so many times God answers our prayers in ways that come as a complete surprise to us. Now, usually this happens because we try to tell God what He needs to do. We're like the woman in the car racing to the gas station to bail out. I know what's best for me. And we turn around and say, Lord, I know exactly how to solve this problem. If you just do A, B, and C, everything is going to be fine. But God is much bigger than our human thoughts in our small ability to understand His vastness. Telling God what to do then will always surprise us when God does what He deems as best for you and me. Here in Isaiah, the prophet is telling the people of Israel to expect a miracle. And he says those words, only the redeemed will walk on the way of holiness. Only you. Not the enemy, only you. Now, I can't imagine anything worse than suffering in the world than being lost eternally in my sins. But that's exactly what God's law sentences us sinful human beings to. And we live in just such a world that is lost to sin because we, at times, turn our backs against Him. Now, as Christians, at times, we live in a redeemed world as well. A world in which Christ has died for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And the challenge for you and I is not to be conformed to the hopelessness of the world in which we live, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may have hope in Him. So, how is your life going today? I mean, not the pat answer. How is your life really going today? I know mine has its daily challenges. But I also know through all that, Jesus is there for me, changing my perspective, helping me to see things from His vantage point. Do I still get in bad moods and become sad from time to time? Well, oh yeah, I do. But in all that, I look to Jesus and His promise to make good out of all the bad that I experience. I want to close with these words of the Apostle Paul, written to the church at Philippi. He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize to which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.